My. Bow the knee one day around the throne. That's what we'll be doing. Amen. Thank you, folks. What a blessing. And whole day's been a blessing to me. I appreciate, again, all the hard work that went into it. And I'd encourage you folks to come back tonight. We're not through. We got a great night coming as well. Unexpected to me until just a few days ago. I didn't know my son was coming. I think my wife and some of the staff conspired and behind my back, and it's a real treat for him to be here. My 45th anniversary, I have to say that kind of fast to absorb it. And when I started counting them, I probably never would have thought the day would have come my son would be preaching one of them for me. He's pastoring in West Virginia also and doing a great job up there. And he and one of the granddaughters was able to fly in. And so couldn't have worked out better, because I did have a health problem this week and it had been a little hard on me to even preach this morning. But Stephen, come on. No need of introducing you to the church. They know you. Appreciate you coming.
Well, it's a blessing to be here for me today, and good to see everybody. And I haven't got a chance to get around to see everybody yet, but I'm very blessed and very privileged to be able to be here for this special occasion, this special day. I read the button here when I got in on late Thursday, and it said, no myth, it's the 45th. I thought, well, that's either that one or still alive at 45, or, you know, one of those was going to work, you know. But it... I am kind of glad we weren't able to bring our whole family down, but I was able to bring my daughter Hope, and with the sickness, all the Florida germs in my parents' house, I'm kind of glad about that. Hope said to me this morning, she says, Dad, something's wrong with my throat. And I said, yeah, well, I've been coughing all morning, honey. So I said, we'll just have to trust the Lord to get us through this. My mom, pray for her. She's at home in bed and had gotten a lot worse. But I'm glad the Lord allowed my dad to be strengthened enough to be here today and be able to teach Sunday school. But it is good to see everybody. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Matthew, if you would, with me. Matthew chapter number 15. I am thankful for my dad. I'm thankful for this church and this ministry. My dad, there's a lot I could say about him. Everybody knows the things I could say. He's absolutely a hard worker. And that's just strong character, strong will, hard worker. But I think about his faith. He's believed God for a lot through the years. And his faith has not waned, it's remained. And that's a big blessing. You don't, it's just a big exception to the general rule today to be in the same place for 45 years. And that is worth celebrating, isn't it? I'm glad you're here today to celebrate that with the church family and with my family today. It is such a blessing. Some folks, they make such a mess of things they have to leave after just a few years. But my dad's been here for 45. Amen. Matthew chapter 15. I want to look at a couple verses together. We'll start reading around verse number 21. Of Matthew chapter 15. I'm not going to be able to look at all of it, but I want to look at the thought of three times when the Lord Jesus wouldn't answer. Three times that I want to mention today, three times in the scripture when the Lord wouldn't answer. Last Sunday, we were snowed out, or snowed in, however you say that. I'm still getting used to all that, being a Florida cracker myself. But snow was up to my knees. I measured 20 to 21 inches on top of our church sign where it gathered up, you know, and built. Got my measuring tape out. My wife took a picture of me doing that. And so we didn't have church last Sunday. Now, as far as we called it off, there was no place to put the snow. It wasn't about plowing snow. It was about piling snow. That's how it kind of was. I mean, 20, 21 inches like that. And so me and my son was over at church family. He was over at their house. And so it was me and my three daughters and my wife. So we tried to stream the services here. And with our wonderful internet we have there in our part of West Virginia, it just kept skipping and skipping. And so finally, I had my Bible and I stood up and I gave my girls and my wife a sermon, just about 15 minutes worth. Three or four got saved and several rededications. But I was thinking about that one Sunday, Brother Vince, where the country preacher, a big snowstorm came that weekend, and he got up and he was getting dressed, and his wife said, "Honey, you know there'll be nobody at church today. Nobody's gonna be able to get here." He says, "Yes, I understand that, honey, and you stay home with the baby, but it's my duty. I'm gonna go put wood in the furnace and get it lit and get the building heated, and I'm gonna be there just in case somebody shows up." Well, no sooner did he get that building heated than one old farmer showed up. There he was. He went and sat in the same spot he sat in every Sunday. The preacher went and walked down to him and looked at him and said, "Hey, buddy, it's just me and you today." He says, "What are we going to do?" And the farmer says, "Well, preacher, when one cow shows up, I still feed him." Yeah. He says, "Okay." So he grabbed his Bible. He went back up behind the preaching stand there, and he started preaching. And, buddy, he felt the Spirit of God upon him. He felt some liberty, and he was just overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and he just kept preaching and preaching. An hour went by. An hour and a half went by. 1 hour and 45 minutes later, he said, "Amen and amen." He left the preaching stand, walked down to the farmer, and he said, "Hey, what'd you think about that?" He says, "Preacher, I told you when one cow shows up, I feed him, but I don't give him all the feed." Well, I can't give you all the feed today, but let's look here at Matthew chapter 15. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says here, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan..." Mark calls her a Syrophoenician woman, "came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.'" They were weary with her crying and following them around. Verse 24, "But he answered and said," answered his disciples here, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not meet," that word meet there, you know, that means fit or suitable or the right thing, "'it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs.' And she said, 'Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said unto her, 'O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt.' And her daughter," that one that was grievously vexed with the devil, "her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Let's look at several places here this morning. We'll just have to refer to a couple. Three times in the scripture when the Lord would not answer. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have this blessed opportunity to be together. We thank you for every time we are able to assemble together. But Lord, this is a special day, and so we ask for your presence to be yielded to, for the Spirit of God to be given place today, and for the Word of God to be exalted as the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up. Lord, we just thank you for my dad and my mom and this ministry here and all the souls that have been saved and all the Bible that's been preached. Lord, we do have something we're thankful for and happy to celebrate today. But Lord, for the next few moments, may you give us clearness in our thoughts and our mind, Lord, that we would be open and receptive to your message today as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you today, and we ask these blessings now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Three times in the scripture when the Lord wouldn't answer. You know, you have a world today where people actually try to put God on trial. And what I mean by that is they see all the sin and the suffering on the planet today. They see all the hard times and the bad news and the tragic loss of life and all the bad things that are just a common occurrence in the headlines day in and day out. And what people do is they shake their fist at God and say, "If you were loving God, you would not allow those things to happen. You would not allow someone to die before their time, or you would not allow people to suffer and hurt the way that they suffer." All the time wanting to live however they want to live, all the time wanting to believe however they want to believe, but they get mad at God for the consequences. You know, that age-old question, how could a good God, how could a righteous, holy, loving God allow such suffering on planet Earth? Well, the common answer, and I've said this many times, is we today experience much suffering here on planet Earth because we live in a fallen world. I tell you what, it falls to new lows all the time. It sure does. It's a fallen world, and this creation, Romans chapter 8 tells us even the creation itself, the animal kingdom and the plant life, just the creation itself groans under the heavy weight of the sin curse that's on planet Earth. Here's the thing. People say, oh, that should be removed. If God really loved us, we wouldn't have to go through that. Look at that poor first person over there and the way they were born and the lack of quality of life that they have and the terrible health problems they have. Oh, it makes me want to turn my heart away from God. Now, here's the thing. Here's the problem. If God being good means he has to get rid of suffering, then that means he has to get rid of sin. And if he gets rid of sin today, guess what else he gets rid of? Sinners. So if God, according to the world standard today, what I would call an infidel standard, a non-believer standard, for God to truly be good in their eyes, they'd have to be taken out. See, sin and suffering are connected. We know that death and sin are connected. God cannot get rid of suffering today. If he did, we'd all be out of here, brother. There'd be none left because there's only one that's ever lived that's never committed sin. And it's not me. And guess what? It's not you. And it's definitely not those folks that talk their heads off on TV. No, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it's actually grace and love that God allows us to continue with all the sin that continues. Here's the good news. God is dealing with sin. And when it's done with, when everything is accomplished that the Word of God sets forth, he'll actually do away with the sin and save the sinner for those that will turn to him. And I hope that's why you're here today. I hope you came looking for answers. And we got a book that's full of them. And you'll be pointed to the one that will get rid of the sin and save the sinner. Amen. And that's what I want to look at today. There's three instances in Scripture. This first one's a Gentile woman in trouble. I almost was going to do it last because I'm afraid I'll take up all the little bit of time I have just on this lady here in Matthew 15. There was also a Jewish lady in trouble in John chapter 8. You remember the religious crowd of the day, the Pharisees? My wife told me to go slow. I don't think I'm doing that. I'm pausing, okay? Trying to shift down just a little bit. Go to granny gear, Dad? Is that what you used to call it? There was a Jewish woman in trouble in Gospel of John chapter number 8, verses 1 through 11. We don't have time to go there, but remember what? She was taken in adultery by the religious crowd of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the uppity-ups and the ones that didn't care about accepting Jesus, but they were big into their religion, that's for sure. They rejected the God that should have been the God of their religion. They rejected him while embracing their religion at the same time. And they did not care about this woman being brought to justice. They cared about trying to ensnare the Lord Jesus Christ in their trap and in their tricks. And they bring this woman to the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 8. And they condemned her, saying, Moses said that one that is taken in adultery has to be put to death. And I'm paraphrasing. And remember what they said? What is your answer? You remember Jesus Christ wouldn't answer them? Do you remember that? Remember he stooped down and started writing in the dirt? There's a verse, and there's a good message that you ought to look up. I think the name of the message is, What Did Jesus Write? My dad preached it years ago. There's a prophetic verse in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13. It says, O Lord, hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. It all kind of ties together there. Anyway, you remember the Lord Jesus didn't answer them, but he wrote in the dirt. Remember what happened? They all had to start leaving. Remember that? He says, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. They all had to leave that day. They understood that they were barking up the wrong tree, that they weren't going to make themselves righteous by trying to find one more unrighteous than them. Their religion was failing them that day before the Creator of all things. And what a wonderful thing it is. Remember what happened somewhere down there around verse number 11. Jesus says, "Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." He was the only man there, the God-man, that hadn't participated in sin, and probably her type of sin. And so he was the one there that could condemn her. Guess what he said? "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." When God could have condemned us all, instead of doing away with us and bringing down swift judgment upon us, no, he gave us grace instead. He gave us love. He gave us forgiveness of sins. He gave us a work of salvation that all who will accept it and believe in it will be gloriously saved. Oh, that Jewish lady in trouble that day, she found the help she needed in the time of trouble. She found the forgiveness she needed in a time of sin, in a time of condemnation. But this Gentile woman in trouble here in verse number 21 through verse number 28, and I can't do it justice, of course, with the time that we're given to this morning. But here the Lord Jesus, he didn't answer her. His reason for not answering her in verse 24 was, he says, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, a lot of people don't pay attention when the Bible says this, but you can see it in places like the book of Romans, where Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. He was sent to confirm the promises made to the fathers. It was with Israel that he was accomplishing all the things that had been written aforetime. He was that promised one, that Messiah, that anointed one, to do the things that God had anointed him to do. And when it says the fathers, it's talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what it's talking about. He came to confirm those things, to make sure there's an everlasting establishment. Even though there was failure on Israel's part, there was no failure on God's part to keep the covenant and agreement that they had entered into thousands of years before. Yeah. Yet here, Jesus reminds this Syrophoenician lady, this woman of Canaan, that you're not one of the children of Israel. I'm here doing this with them. I'm accomplishing all that God has sent me, the Father has sent me to accomplish. He says, it's not meat. It's not the right thing for me to do to take the children's bread. That was the gospel he was preaching. The children is the nation of Israel. And cast it to the dogs. What did the Jews call us Gentiles? Rough. They called us dogs, right? Called us dogs. Well, she could have got highly offended. And if she lived today in 2016, that's what she would have done. She would have contacted a news outlet. She would have went on a message board online. She would have said how she was mistreated and even racially profiled. She didn't do that. She said, "Truth, Lord. I agree with what you said." You know, if you're going to get saved, there's got to be a point where you side against yourself and agree with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when it comes to us, there's none good, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, he says, "I can't do this. I can't give this to you. I came here giving it to the children." It's truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She says, "You're Lord, you're God, I know who you are, and I just want a crumb. My daughter's at home. Oh, our life has been turned upside down. She's got an evil spirit. She's demonically possessed. And boy, it's changed her life. It's changed my life. It's to change the life of everybody in our household and all of our family. Oh, our world is turned upside down. We need help, and I have to come to you for help. I can't fix this. The government can't fix this. The talk show people can't fix this, Lord. I need you. And it's just a crumb from you. That's all I need. That's how great you are. I don't need a whole slice of bread. I definitely don't need a loaf. I just need a crumb. A crumb of mercy is what I need." See, she understood. She understood that she had no right to call on him as a Gentile. She had no Old Testament connection to him. Her pedigree did not allow her to have an audience with him. Yet she knew that even though she didn't have a right to him, he could still give her mercy. We're not the nation of Israel today, even though we live in a time of grace where that's not as prominent as it was in Old Testament times. But do you know that God, no matter what your family tree is or what your background is or what your first name, last name, middle name might be, it doesn't matter about any of that. It just matters that God has, he's given you mercy. And the question is whether you've received it or not, whether you've accepted it or not, whether you've understood what that means according to the scripture. There's another time where the Son of God was silent. It's when he stood before his accusers at the end of the Gospels. Matthew 26 is one place, even into Matthew 27. Oh, they leveled accusations at him. They slandered, they lied. They brought in false witnesses, even though the Old Testament said, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." And they witnessed falsely against him, and yet he didn't answer them. Like the Old Testament passage says in Isaiah 53, he was as a sheep, he was dumb. He wasn't going to speak, taken to the slaughter. Why didn't he answer? Why did he stand there speechless? Why did he take the blame for sins that he had not committed? Oh, when I read those passages, the scene is kind of pictured in my head. Doesn't it make you want to cry? Doesn't it make you want to say, stand up for yourself. Tell the truth. Get rid of these bad guys. Those ones that are questioning you, who are they? They're sinners. Sinful creatures, and you're the sinless creator. Oh, God could have given 1,000 answers. Jesus could have tied his accusers up in 1,000 knots. He could have sent them on their ear every which way. He knew all about them. He could have told them about their secrets and their sins. He could have uncovered evidence that would have sent them fleeing from the scene with their tail between their legs. But he didn't do that. Jesus Christ, he came into the world to save sinners, the Bible says. He had came into the world especially to die for man's sin. He had taken his place with sinners. And now he was taking the place of sinners in condemnation. He was bearing the whole judgment upon himself. He was going to die. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he tasted death for every man. The death that we deserve to die, he took it instead. He's our substitute. I'd say it this way. Christ didn't answer because we were the ones in trouble. Christ didn't speak because he speaks for us now. He didn't speak then because he speaks for us right now. Sin had to be paid for. He was silent then so that he could speak for me right this moment. And if you're saved, his blood speaks for you. His life speaks for you. His death speaks for you. His burial speaks for you. His resurrection speaks for you. His ascension up to the right hand of the throne of creation, it speaks for you right now. He ever liveth and maketh intercession for us. He's speaking good things about a saved person right now in the throne of creation, in the courtrooms of heaven. You have an advocate. You have a representative. You have someone that is there for your good, representing you. Back in Matthew chapter 15, that Syrophoenician lady, that woman of Canaan, she said, truth, Lord, I know I have no pull. I know I have no right to you according to the scripture. Yet she'd learned that lesson and acknowledged her unworthy position. That's why her faith was great, and God talked about her faith. He marveled at her faith. Remember that story about the woman whose son was a soldier in Napoleon's army? He'd been condemned to die, condemned to death. This mom went to Napoleon. She had some type of inroad, an avenue where she could go and meet with Napoleon. And she pleaded with the emperor to have mercy on her son. And the emperor answered that heartbroken mother and said, "He doesn't deserve mercy. This is his second serious offense." "But sire," that mother came back, "it would not be mercy if he deserved it." She wasn't asking for justice. She was asking for mercy. "I don't deserve mercy. Yeah, Adam sinned, and that plunged us all, our whole human race, into a lifetime of sin. But guess what? We chimed in with Adam when we came along. Aren't you glad for the second Adam that came along? That's what the Bible tells us. The Lord Jesus Christ came, and when he could have condemned us like the woman taken in adultery, or like the Syrophoenician woman that had no call upon him, or when he stood or sat before his accusers as they went about to make a case, to put him to death, to execute him in the times that he lived, crucifixion, he took our place, didn't speak, but he speaks to you now. Have you accepted what he said to you, that you should turn to him and believe on him? Accept what he did for you, his wonderful work of salvation? Have you accepted that mercy? Have you received that gift? Are you saved today? Oh, you're not going to find any help with the world. I promise you that. I have a prognostication for 2016. It's going to get worse this year. Best thing for you to do is to look up. The way you can see up is by seeing the words of Scripture. His word speaks to you today. Have you accepted him? Do you know him as your personal Savior? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Thanks for listening to me this morning. The most important thing is for you to look inside your heart of hearts and to see your standing before a merciful God. There's mercy today if you'll receive it. There's salvation today if you'll accept it. If you don't want to receive his mercy, then what can be done for you? If you don't want to recognize that you need mercy, then what can be done for you? You're in denial. Today we have the cure. Today we have the answer. Today we have the remedy. Today we have the forgiveness and salvation and the reconciliation back to God presented before us. It speaks to us through these stories and through his precious word. So what's your response? What's your response? Oh, I know election season's dominating the headlines, and I think about it every time big decisions in our nation pop up like this. I think about the voting thing, and we'll encourage people to vote, and I understand all that. But you know, the most important vote you'll ever cast in your life is the one concerning eternity. And I've said it many times, but I think it's relevant today. Here's the situation. The devil has voted against you. Thank God Jesus Christ has voted for you. Do you know today you get to cast the deciding vote? You get to cast the deciding vote. Are you going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ today? Are you going to understand that his work, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that gospel work, that is the work that makes you right and forgiven and reconciled to God? Are you going to vote for that today? Are you going to accept him today? Or are you going to vote to remain in sin, neglecting and denying the mercy that God has offered you? How many can say today, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm saved and here's my hand, here's my testimony today? Would you raise that? I just want to see quickly. I think it's always good to respond to the Word of God, and we have that opportunity right now. Thank you. I see those hands. You can put them down. Is there anybody here today, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, that would say, preacher, would you please pray for me today, because I'm not sure that I'm saved? Would you raise your hand? All I'm going to do is pray for you right now. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Thank you, sir. I see yours as well. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand up there. Anybody else? That's several people that are honest. And by the way, I want to commend you for your honesty. Not everybody will respond. Thank you for looking in your heart and responding. I'm going to pray for you folks that raised your hand this morning. I'm going to pray that you'd see the truth of the Word of God today. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time we were able to spend together, but most of all, we're thankful right now as our hearts and minds are reminded of what you've done for us. The Lord Jesus Christ has been God way before we ever came along, but he saw man, he saw our sin, and he saw the only way of salvation, and he became the God-man. and he lived the life that we all were supposed to live but have failed. He died the death that we deserve to die. But Lord, since he was the God-man and since he was sinless, he took up eternal life and he came forth from the dead, and we proclaim him today to everybody that needs salvation. So Lord, we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and we point all men to him. For these three that, at least that three that I've seen that raised their hand, Lord, I just pray for your will to be accomplished today. Holy Spirit of God, you take the word of God and that you would convict and that you draw. Lord, for the other services on the property going on right even at this time, Lord, we pray for others to make that right decision of accepting the mercy that you've extended in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to take this invitation time, Lord, as we conclude our service and use it for your glory. We commit it to you now. And we do this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you stand together? I'm going to turn the service back over to my dad. If God has spoken to you, would you come as we sing this morning? The ladies are playing. We're going to sing the song as Brother Cruz leads us. If your hand was raised a moment ago, you know what you need to do? You just need to go ahead and follow your hand. It came up. You need to come up to the front of the building today. Some